Former NHLer, now amateur poker player, Brian Sotheby joins us. Suds, what's happening?
I'm good, buddy. I'm a pro.
You're a pro.
Yeah, I got my glasses. I got my headphones. I'm ready to rock.
Really nice. You're bringing headphones because you're playing on Sunday in the tournament.
Well, is that a bad day?
No, no, not at all. Just telling people if they're playing. Because some people play Saturday, some play Sunday. You can't play both days.
So. Oh, okay. I got you. Maybe bring a hoodie, tie it around real tight.
Well,
I'm ready, buddy.
According to Negrano, only insecure poker players wear hoodies.
That's
that was
true.
His words, not mine. I have
is
no
he going to be there?
You know what? No, he was scared. He didn't want. He didn't want to come to Edmonton and lose.
Be there.
Yeah, he was scared. So doesn't surprise me. You know what? Our winner will take him out at the main event.
Exactly.
Right. Be way when the TV cameras are on. Right. Whoever wins tomorrow and Sunday, those two people, they'll have gone through the pressure of beating 100 people to win. So they'll be loosened up when they go to the main event.
How long's the day?
It depends. Last year, Saturday, I think, finished around 9:30, and Sunday was a longer day, went till about 11:30. Kind of depends on the pace, if you got guys who are aggressive or not. But, yeah, you got to be mentally focused, so this is going to be tough for you
for
8 to 10 hours.
No, I'm ready. I'm ready. Couple coffees.
Oh, no. You'll be asleep in bed tonight early and tomorrow night.
I will, of course.
Nice.
Always.
Nice. And, by the way, Struds wanted me to pass on the year chicken for not karaokeing this year.
Oh, Struds. I'm starting to think I did elbow Struds and hit him a little too hard, maybe.
Yeah. Well, he just wants you to feel the shame that he felt last year,
that's
I think.
That's true. See, I'm smarter than that. I know when to tap out.
Let's get to the playoffs. Speaking of tapping out, okay, you're in the playoffs. We all know how important it is. How do you get 12 freaking shots in a playoff game?
I don't know. That's you know, that series is crazy, and we talked about it before with that injury to Tyson Barrie and just how pivotal that could be. I mean, Minnesota, they're obviously a defensive team, and you knew they would probably play a little bit different at home. They'd get their matchups and try to shut down, but obviously Colorado's been a team all year that has probably given up a few too many shots and relied on their goaltending a lot, and they're still doing it. I mean, Varlamov's keeping them right in these games that they really haven't played very well in, but I played with Tyson a few years ago in Cleveland, and he's really one of the best young defensemen I've ever seen. And he had a great year this year, and you just see how much of an impact a loss of a guy like him does to your back end, getting the puck out of your zone, a good first pass, lugging the puck up the ice, your power play, all that stuff. It's a big blow, and I'm sure that has a huge effect on their offense and the chances that they're creating, and they got to regroup here going home.
Now, you've been in the playoffs, and it's, you know, I think for the players, the roller coaster of emotion isn't nearly as much as it is for the pundits and the fans watching, because you'll see a team lose, and you can look brutal one game, and then 2 days later, like, none of that ultimately matters. So, you know, Colorado, like Patrick Waugh had a great line today, said, it's our time now. Pardon the words, to put our balls on the table is exactly what he said. It was great. And you know what? It really can be kind of that simple. As a player, I know it's cliche and people don't like to hear it, but when the game's over, I'm sure you're annoyed. But what's the thought process now of Colorado? How do they move past that game so easily? How do guys do it?
You just find a way to reset. I'm sure that plane ride home was miserable. Trying to get to sleep that night once they did get into their beds was tough. Probably replaying the game. But the next morning, you get up, you go to the rink, and your coaches probably did a good job of laying out some video or the things that you need to work on. And it's a lot about them. They can set the mood as well. I mean, if the coaches are going to moan around or pout or be mad, that can put pressure on the players. If you walk in and it's a little more loose and, hey, guys, we're back home. It's a new series. It's a new game. It's a new day. All those types of things can play a factor on a player. But for the most part, it is a series. Every player knows that it's a best of seven. There's going to be ups and downs, and you just realize that. And you get energy by going home. I think that you'll see a different Colorado team in front of their own fans, their own barn and home ice, getting their matchups. I expect a totally different team, and it really is just a mindset, and you forget about it.
Brian Sotheby, a former NHLer, now writes at OilersNation.com, joined us. They don't have Barry, who was so great. And Colorado, like, I don't know if you can completely change how you play in the playoffs from what got you there in the regular season, right? Colorado gave up a lot of shots all year long. That's just how they played. And Varlamov was the reason. You know, he should be the Vezina Trophy winner, the amount of shots he faced and how well he played. But without Barry now, they don't have that guy who can move up and be an explosive, get the pucks up to his forwards as quickly because his replacement aren't as good. Do you think Patrick Waugh tries to tweak it, or is it too late and you got to stick with what got you to the dance?
I think you probably just got to stick with what got you there, and they're going to have to try to find someone or play guys more minutes that can do a little bit of what Barry did and hope that someone can step up and sort of fill that role. I guess he could try to sit back a little bit, but They're a good offensive team and a team that has young skill, that's energetic, and that's what's so disappointing about how this whole thing went down is he was such a good offensive player and a player that could push the pace for them and carry the puck from the back end and create so much there. With him and Duchesne out, it is a big, big loss for that team, and I do worry about them. I expect a better effort, but a huge loss.
Oh, it's huge. Now, David Backes, we had Andy Strickland on earlier. He thinks he's going to go tonight. If he does, how much does that change that series?
If he's good to go, and I assume with the head, he'll probably be close to 100%. It's not so much like a body part where you're laboring. I think it's a huge addition. If they can get him back before Seabrook, it's definitely a huge part for their team. I'm a huge David Backes fan. I just love him up the middle. I love his power game, his intensity. If he can play the way, if he's not timid, if he's not concerned about the head, if he can be a guy that's, you know, he's sort of turned into that bully type, big power forward that you get in my way, I'm going to run you over. As long as he can play that way, it's a huge, huge lift for that team. And this is a big game for St. Louis. I think if they win tonight, it's probably still going seven, and if they don't win, I have a hard time believing they're going to pull it out in Game 6 in Chicago.
You overcame a concussion. Talk about that mental battle of coming back and trying to play the same aggressive style.
Yeah, I think for most hockey players at least for me, I wanted to almost initiate.
Okay.
I wanted to, I know with, and guys can talk about shoulder injuries and stuff like that as well. You rehab, you do the stuff that you have to off the ice, and then once you get back, I wanted to test it. I wanted to go out there and bang right away and get into a corner and get popped or whatnot and just try to see how I felt. And once you got that first good lick out of the way, you knew you were okay. You felt like you could be in the game and be that same player, and you just get right back after it.
Looking at the Kings LA series last night, man, did you watch it?
Yeah.
People will say, oh, it's late in the game, why are you doing that? Talk about the mindset of those guys, Brian, late in that game, you know, and LA wasn't backing down and neither was San Jose. The game was over. They know who won. You know, do messages ever actually get sent? Why is that happening?
Well, I think it's funny. You watch a lot of these playoffs and you hear everyone, game five of the regular season, something happens in a fight or two big fighters go at it and everyone, well, there's no fighting in the playoffs. The playoffs aren't like this. And I laugh every time. I mean, there's almost more fighting in the playoffs. It just doesn't happen to be two big goons staging a fight off a face-off. But the playoffs, I mean, it's just insane how intense it is, the stick work, the battles. And guys, you can't be stupid. You can't take dumb penalties during the game. So when games get out of hand, everybody's looking to settle a score. You remember that two-hander or that butt end or little face washing game two or game three, and you tell guys, I'm going to find you. And depending on when it is in the series, you're talking stuff going on in game five that could go all the way back to game two, and guys are always trying to get that little edge and send a message.
Looking at the one other series, you know, Detroit-Boston, that was their chance. I think they're done now.
Yeah.
But the Rangers-Philly, early on, it's 1-0. Dominic Moore took an early penalty. They killed it off. He comes out of the penalty box and scores on a wraparound on Mason on a rebound, and it's 1-0. You look at the Flyers are a team that, you know, Mason coming off that injury. To me, I would think they're a fragile team. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they were saying all the right things today about Mason and him coming back and talking about his past and big games. I think that was still the big question mark for Philly coming into this series. I like their team. I like the way they play. But their goaltending has always been a question. And I know he played a little bit better this year, but there's still question marks there. And this Ranger team's a hard forechecking team. They've done a great job shutting Giroux down, their defense. It's a tough one. I'm glad you gave me the score update because I kind of felt like Philly I still think Philly might be able to pull this game out, but in the long haul, I think they're going to fall short.
Yeah, I would agree. The Rangers, their goaltending, I think that was the biggest difference in that series. And even though Ray Emery played well, Henrik Lundqvist, that's such a distinct advantage in a series. And I think right now it's the biggest reason why they're leading that series.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, Suds, quickly, what is your strategy when it comes to poker?
My strategy? I'm going to bluff a lot.
All right.
I've already got you thinking, see?
Well, buddy, don't worry. I have no worries. I could look through those thin, cheap gas station shades that you're wearing.
I'm pretty sure I outlasted you there the one time we played.
Well, you weren't at my table. What are you talking about? We were at different tables.
Well, yeah, but then we went to a final table. So
yeah, I know, but
you never made it to my table.
Yeah, our table had pretty much all the guys playing. You guys didn't even up your ante. It was embarrassing. I was like, is that the kiddie table over there?
We're veterans. That's just smart.
Even you said it was poor performance. Poor. You played four hands.
Hey, I'm ready. I'm ready.
You have more patience than me. That's not why. I can't sit there. I have to play some hands.
I
respect the guys.
Day.
I respect the guys who can. I don't have the patience. I can't sit there and, as they say, wait for cards. I can't
do it. I love
it. It's brutal. That's brutal. Well, we'll have a lot of fun. Good luck.
Sounds good, buddy.